All right, you guys, you know how excited I am about, actually, I have a rejuvenated spirit about how we as a people can go about taking our country back. And it's taken me a while. And as our listening audience knows, I've evolved through 800 and now 65 episodes, lashing out in the beginning, not knowing how to even formulate, you know, with all the energy that I had and concern I had for my country as a former United States Marine and a former, you know, Fox News neocon brainwashy. I went for the Ron Paul thing, got stung with that. So I've evolved and I've learned my way through this thing. Called How Do We Take Back Our Country? Now, I wanted the collapse to occur early on. When I first met Susanna Cole at episode 17, I was hoping we would never go to, you know, 100 episodes. But thankfully, now we've got 800 and something episodes, not just under our belt, but we've reached a lot of people. And most importantly, they've watched me learn my way through this thing. I've even gotten to the point now where I'm firmly convinced, based on the advice that wise people like, you know, we've had Sheriff Mack, John Whitehead from the Rutherford Institute, Stuart Rhodes, all tell me right before you that we're going to accomplish absolutely nothing screaming at white buildings in Washington, D.C. We need to take back our country at the community level. And the light has come on for me, especially through reading the writings of the, quote, Waranto that you're going to hear about here. I don't want to go too far off on a tangent. I'm going to let these gentlemen speak to you. But I'm going to invite, and this invitation comes based on what I believed after looking at their website, seeing the work that they're doing, and what I'm learning from them about the importance of applying some of their legal strategy in restoring us back to our Bill of Rights through a common law method. We're going to talk about those methods here, but I'm going to invite the two founders, original founders of the National Liberty Alliance. John and Gerard are two of the original founders who originally started by trying to get into the political process through the committeeman system. We're going to hear about that. But what they discovered was that there was a that the political parties had been taken over by a corporate private associations. What had occurred was the complete turning around of a system that was supposed to be run by the people as a bottom-up process to a top-down system that was basically controlled by those corporate entities who could, quote, buy their candidates into the system. So off they went into the court system, where we found an even worse subversion than in the political party system. And what they discovered was a judicial dictatorship system aided by a handpicked, dysfunctional legislative branch. So these oligarchs, all of our listeners know this, these oligarchs were not answerable to any authority that the people could access. It was about that time when they discovered U.S. versus Williams, which led to their research into that most important safety valve of the people's consent. Not to the government. That is known as the common law jury and grand jury system. Really like the fourth branch of government run by we the people. That's what these folks are promoting, and we're going to, with the pushing of this button, introduce you to these founders, not just in this first episode. This is the inaugural episode, I believe, and I've been in discussions with them, to bring them on a weekly basis, not just a monthly basis, to educate us on who we are and what we can do in what I've been describing as a, let's say, a podium by podium, county by county method of taking our country back into the hands of we the people. And I invite both John and Gerard to the show. Gentlemen, welcome to the Pete Santilli Show. I'm very, very excited about this. As you already know, I've made so many attempts to try to get in touch with you guys, and I'm glad we're able to kick this thing off so that we can learn our way through this process of taking our country back. We can do it. I'm very, very optimistic about this. And we don't necessarily, of course, we can have it backed. We can have ourselves backed up defensively with our Second Amendment, but we're going to exercise our First Amendment and all other amendments in the entire Constitution and Declaration of Independence and Bill of Rights, of course. But I think we can do this, and we can do so peacefully. But now's the time to do it. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
All right, thanks for having us, Pete.
And we have the voice of, if you don't mind, I'm going to introduce John Darash. John Darash is the voice that you hear in the videos on National Liberty Alliance, a lot of videos that you've posted on YouTube. You're the audio, the voice behind that. Welcome, John Darash.
Thank you. It's good to be here, and you did a very good synopsis of where we've come from, so that was very well done. Obviously, you've been looking at our website and have at least breezed through it enough to get that nice, rounded picture.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gerard.
Then Gerard comes to the show as one of the co-founders of, and we're going to refer to you guys as NLA, the National Liberty Alliance, and their website is nationallibertyalliance.org. Welcome, Gerard.
Hey, good to be here, Pete.
Great to have you, gentlemen. We'll go back and forth. I wanted to have the two of you on here. John Darash, it looks like, actually, I'm going to tell you from my perspective, I've been learning my way through this thing. You know, I think you may know I was involved with Bundy Ranch. I think you know that I've been a constitutionalist associated with the Oath Keepers, and I've been promoting just about every organization that's interested in doing something to help us get our country back. But, sir, I want to open this conversation up in the following. I want you to tell me that I'm absolutely right now that I've learned the light has come on. There's no way that we can go to Washington, D.C. and scream at white buildings and expect some change to come to we the people. Isn't that true?
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely true. They want to keep us busy doing those things. They want to keep us busy looking at the international courts and different things going on out there. Our founding fathers set up a system so unique and so different than anything else that has ever been, you know, created before us. And it's built upon common law. Common law is natural law. You cannot separate the two. And what our founding fathers did is they created two controlling processes of our government. One of them is the committeeman process, and the other one is the judicial process. The problem with the committeeman process is if the judicial process is hijacked, and it has been hijacked, then the committeeman process has no bite, no way to get in. They just can't get control. We tried for 4 years in the courts, fighting these people in the courts, and that's how we've really got our teeth into common law and process and procedures of the courts and understanding how these judges think and who they think they are. and I've discovered, without exception, but it doesn't mean that they're not there, I haven't found a honest judge yet that wasn't, you know, I haven't found a judge that wasn't a criminal. Every single one of them that I've come in contact with is a criminal. Now, that doesn't mean there's none out there, because there very well could be some. And, you know, after all, we have what's his name from Fox, or was with Fox?
Napolitano.
Napolitano, yeah. Okay, yeah. So he seems to be a really good guy. He understands the Constitution. Mm-hmm. He's really telling the story the way it is. And so there must be some good judges out there somewhere, but they're very hard to find. And so what we did, going through the committeeman thing, as you mentioned, that's where we kind of got our judicial teeth, our teeth into the law. And as you mentioned, we found United States versus Williams, which has really took the entire direction. We used to be called NewYorkCommittee.org. Then we took a whole new direction when we found United States versus Williams, and we became New York Liberty Alliance. Mm-hmm. We found that a lot of people were coming to our meetings that were out of state. And we told them, you know, look, you guys can copy our website and, you know, do whatever you want and, you know, work, do the same thing we're doing. But it became, you know, we realized quite quickly that that's kind of difficult for a lot of people to do.
Yeah,
so
we
changed our name.
Remain grassroots, and they wanted to do it too, and it became hard. You know, well, you see what we have, and they needed that.
So we incorporated them into our website. We opened up for all the states. We got a pretty decent website put together that's gives a platform to each of the states. And we have national meetings. We have private leadership meetings, and we also have a Bible study on Saturdays. And so we have established that the purpose of the website is to facilitate. And our main position or motto, if you want to call it, is at some point, the people must increase and NLA must decrease. And so that we like to remind the people of that from time to time, because they need to understand that NLA will never become a top-down structure or control. We also are teaching the people that they do not want to create rules in order to rule. They don't want to create any kind of, rules or regulations. We need to go to Jefferson for this and the eight principles, eight ancient principles, and we need to rule by principles. So there are three main principles that everyone that's involved with us is to take an oath or a vow to the Lord. And those three principles that they swear to uphold or they vow to uphold is a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. So in everything we do, we must be honorable, we must be just, and we must consider mercy in every decision and any thought we have concerning the business of the people. We have a duty to go forward with that.
Now we're gonna take breaks, John. Push the pause button. I want to give you guys as much time as possible for this introduction to our listening audience. So let's just take some breaks. This one's a short one, and the next one is at the bottom of the hour. It's a 2-minute break. We'll be right back with John Darash and his co-founder Gerard right after this short break, ladies and gentlemen. Their website is nationallibertyalliance.org. We're going to talk about how chock full of information, and information is key here to educate our people on what our options are. We'll be right back.
Okay.
And John, if you could, just I want you to pick up where you left off. I want to begin this next segment, and then you can carry on with your thoughts where we left off. You know, there's a guy. Okay. He's an investigator, He's a journalist. He's a blogger. He's a constitutionalist. He's been involved with the militia movement dating back to the Waco incident. A true patriot. And very, very well read. He wrote an article on three versions of the Constitution, which now I believe, and I agree with him, that there's three constitutions right now that we're all being subjected to. The first one, and you know what? We have to look at this. The people that are working in our federal government, people in law enforcement, you know, they believe, honestly, deep in their souls, based on how they were trained or well-educated, miseducated, but they believe that they're following the U.S. Constitution. They honestly believe that. I even had BLM, a Bureau of Land Management corporate person that's working for the Department of Interior, law enforcement with a badge and a gun, saying that he was following the Constitution and that his Constitution would apply in a court of law, and he had a court order and he had all this stuff. That was the Constitution he was going by, while he was telling me that I couldn't express my First Amendment rights, but in a small little area off in the corner, which was unconstitutional, but he thought he was being constitutional. The second one is the Constitution that is, quote unquote, interpreted by the Supreme Court. That's the one that they use, they interpret, and they try to apply their version of the Constitution to us through their misinterpretations. And then there's the real one that our framers wrote. They're very well written. They documented just about everything in their process to how they framed our country. But do you agree with that there's basically three versions of a constitution that we're suffering from this battle here? All three areas, the Supreme Court believes they're right, the federal government believes they're right, and of course, we the people must establish that we're right when we pick up the Constitution, read it, and apply the laws as they were originally intended by our framers, right?
Well, correct. I would agree with that. And what changes the Constitution to what we call the fiction ultimately is the amendments from 11 on. Only the Bill of Rights, I don't even consider anything after the Bill of Rights. The first 10 amendments is the capstone of the Constitution. It is the interpreter of the Constitution because it's the don'ts. The Constitution in itself is the do's. This is what you can do. And if we didn't say you could do it, you can't do it. And then the capstone, which is really Jefferson's child ultimately, that puts a capstone on it and prevents them, boxes them in, chains them down to the don'ts.
Yeah, it's been,
don't do this,
been,
don't do that, don't do the other.
It's been known as the Bill of Prohibitions.
Yeah.
Correct.
It's been called, right.
So Congress shall make no law, and it goes on, you know, concerning all these items, religion, abridging the freedom of speech, the press, and so on, all the way through. And that can that continues all the way to the 10th Amendment. And, you know, we have been really de-educated. Well, I don't even know if you want to use that word, but we're not educated. That's clearly the truth.
Well, typically, and the reason we really bring this up, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this is, and I'm speaking in steak and potatoes language. That's who our listening audience is, and we need to learn our way through this. Okay, so if I can ask this question, our listening audience will learn from the answer to this. The bottom line is, if we are to restore our Constitution, we have to pick the right one, don't we?
Well, absolutely, and yeah. And it is very simple. You know, it's really a matter of an interpretation, and, you know, it self-interprets. You know, you don't have to really interpret the Constitution. The Constitution is clear. Anybody who is a student of the Constitution, and the worst thing to do is to go to school to become a student. Sit down and read yourself and start to look into some court cases, study the common law, understand the principles, read up on Jefferson, and then you will have a really good education and understanding of what the Constitution is. The Constitution is very simple. It's very short. There's not much to it. It's a little booklet that you fit in your top pocket, and that's all the law you need. You can walk into any court with that book and use that Constitution and win any case when you're arguing against the government. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to give a synopsis of National Liberty Alliance, what we're doing and what our plan is and how we organized ourselves across the nation, so and what exactly it is that we're doing, which would really give people the prerequisite in order for you to ask the questions and they'll have a better understanding. So if I can get maybe about 15 minutes or so to go through this, and then at that point answer questions and see how the conversation goes.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we were talking about the three principles, and this is what we're founded upon. Three principles, honor, justice, and mercy. We also have two maxims particularly that are foundation. And this is what we will teach every grand jurist and every jurist that sits on a jury. The people only need to know these principles to guide them and also these two maxims to keep them corralled into what the law really is and for them to consider whatever case it is they get involved in. And we get a chance to spend 8 hours with these people. Unfortunately, right now, the Fox spends 8 hours with these people and totally destroys their thinking and puts them in a box and really sets them up so that the government always wins. It's very rare that the people win. Very, very rare.
That's the prosecutor.
So the government has the whole thing set. Huh?
That's the prosecutor, in case people don't know who that is.
The Fox. Right. And the judge.
And the judge, yeah, they do hand in hand. Sometimes one's worse than the other, but they both do it.
Yeah, the prosecutor controls the grand jury 100%, drags them with a ring. After all, he can indict a ham sandwich. That's a pretty sick statement, but they do make those statements. I think they should go to jail for that statement because it reveals what they're doing. The other thing is the judge. The judge controls the jury. He says, I'll tell you what the law is. You can look at the facts, but at the end of the game, this is what the law is going to be, and this is how you're going to rule on this law. And so it's a fixed situation. You see, the grand jury has a decision and shouldn't be violated by the prosecutor. As a matter of fact, it should be the sheriff that calls the grand jury. When an individual is arrested, let's say for murder, something that he has to be incarcerated for and captured, held, and held for a grand jury, the very first thing that sheriff should do, the sheriff's office, is make the notification to the administrators of the grand jury, and that's what we're constructing. We're constructing administrations for the grand jury, which is the people, disconnected from the government, non-political, and focused on three principles and two maxims. And so, therefore, the call for the grand jury would go out, and we would have to respond within 48 hours. After all, they're holding a person, and only the grand jury, they can't be held to answer. They can't call for a judge to come to an arraignment because that's backwards. First, they have to indict them. If you read the Fifth Amendment, it says no person, not one or a few or a couple, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or an indictment of a grand jury. And anything that requires a jail sentence, okay, anything, murder particularly, you steal something from somebody, that is what is called a infamous or a
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We're going to go to a break. So you're saying that you can't even be brought forward in this current court system without a grand jury indictment. That's
the way the law is supposed to be.
Wow. Okay. I'm learning this for the absolute first time. There's other things that I've learned by literally opening this pocket constitution that I have right here. I learned something about Bundy Ranch. Well, I'll open up the next segment with that, and then we'll carry on with this discussion with John and Gerard from the National Liberty Alliance right after this. We'll be right back. Stay right there. Okay, so so this is what this is going to be about, this inaugural episode of, I hope, a series on a weekly basis. Gerard, hopefully you'll be able to make it on with me. Let's do this once a week. And if I can learn stuff, of course, our listening audience is going to learn stuff. For instance, I was saying before we went to the break that through the Bundy Ranch incident, I actually had Ammon Bundy tell me. He goes, you know what, I'm gonna tell you what this issue is about here with the Bundy Ranch, and whether or not the BLM has the authority to do what they're doing. He said, I'm gonna make a statement right now, and I'm gonna tell you I'm right, and then I'm going to back it up. And he had a pocket constitution, and he opened it up, and he said, I'm right that the federal government does not have jurisdiction to come in here and take our cattle, take over the land. And he opened up the U.S. Constitution, and he showed me Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph, I think it's 17, that the federal government, by law, the U.S. Constitution, if you read it, it says that they're only allowed to own certain types of land. And it's very clearly written, must be approved by the legislature, and they can only own land for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. And it's very, very limited, very restrictive, but very clearly written in the Constitution. And I understood right then and there at that moment, I said, shame on me, because I want to restore our Constitution, and I haven't even read it from cover to cover to try to understand what's contained therein. Now you're telling me that something brand new, that somebody cannot even be brought forward in a court without a grand jury present me, and that's the law, and it's written in the Constitution. Yep. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what you were looking for is actually 16, paragraph 16 under Section 8, but 17 does work with the laws for these things, and all of that is governed by the Bill of Rights, and that is the key to this whole thing. You see, when the Constitution was hammered out, the enemy was there. It was a very good document, but the enemy is very witty. They're very sneaky. They work very well in the dark, yeah. and they always squeeze in these phrases that could be move this way or move that way, and you can extend and grow off of it. And so Jefferson, who was unable to be there because he was out of the country, he was involved, I think it was with Madison, and working with him and others. And really what they did is they got involved a little too late trying to make the changes, because they had already hammered out the Constitution, and it was going forward for ratification. And they came up, the Jefferson and others, they came up with the Anti-Federalist Papers. Now, they weren't Anti-Federalist because they were all for a federal government, but they were Anti-Federalist from the standpoint of what the core of the Federalist who really were. And that was led up mostly by Hamilton and some others. And so when they went through the Anti-Federalist Papers, anybody who reads to them or listens to them, we have the audio and the written word up on our website. But if you go through those things, you'll discover the argument concerning some of the problems. And the solution was the Bill of Rights. It's a unique addition to the body of the Constitution. It was so closely concerned with every word within the Constitution that it actually protected and prevented a misinterpretation of the body of the Constitution. Unfortunately, we are not taught civics in school. We're not taught the Constitution. We may hear the word or this or that, but we never read it. We never read it in school. They don't teach it to us, and they don't want to teach it to us, because why would our masters teach the slaves to read? They might rebel.
Okay.
So that's the problem that they have.
You're right.
But let me go back to an important prerequisite for our conversation, and that is to give the whole picture of where we're coming from and how we framed ourselves out and under what principles principles, you know, and that's going to take a few minutes, as I said. So let me get back into the principles
Please.
And the maxims,
sir.
And then we can open up to conversation. Mm-hmm. There are three principles, as I mentioned, honor, justice, and mercy. Now, there are two maxims, and they must guide us in every case that we go forward with, and particularly the administrators for the grand jury should not allow any case that doesn't fit into these into this criteria. And the first maxim is, for every injury, there must be a remedy. That's it must happen. If there's an injury, we have a duty to fix it once we see it. The second important maxim is, in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party, and the state cannot be that injured party. A cop is not an injured party because he sees you come down the street. Now, this is hard to swallow for some people, but when you start to understand how common law works, it's a much better system. People are much more controlled because they're controlled by their principles and no longer by some cop on a corner.
Can I interject? A question? Who defines injury?
Oh, well, that's the individual who's been injured has to come
the
up
people.
And do a sworn affidavit, what? And they say, I've been injured, and show how they've been injured.
Well, what if
injury is real easy to see. It's very easy to see.
Yeah, and this is where these misinterpretations take place, because now you've got, you know, Mitt Romney saying that a corporation is a person, and then that person comes to court and says, I've been injured financially.
Awesome. Yeah, that's what USC 26 says, is it calls a person a corporation. That's been around for quite some time, and as a matter of fact, the 50 states of the United States is Guam, Puerto Rico, District of Columbia, and the islands. I mean, that is the definition in 26, and with that definition, and that's hidden in 20,000 pages, literally, so that when they come up and bring certain laws up and refer to the United States, they're not talking about the United States in the sense with the little U and the big S, which is us. We are the United States of America. Mm-hmm. They're talking about a fiction called the United States of America with a capital U and a capital S. Mm-hmm. And so there's a big difference, and there's a miscommunications, and what it is, it's fraud. Because they've created this situation, they've created the meanings of words to mean something else than what they do mean. They've hijacked our words, and we go into court and we use the words we think we should be using, and they say the certain things, and then we scratch our heads and we walk out of there. Why things went the wrong way?
So then, tell me this for my own edification: is it clearly written? Okay. Let's set aside the fact that they've committed fraud and they've taken our words, misinterpreted it, and, you know, and hijacked the true spirit and meaning of what our founding fathers wanted. A crime can only take place if there's an injured party. There's another one human being has to have been injured by another human being.
Correct.
Physically, is it clearly written in the U.S. Constitution?
Oh, well, it's written in our history. It's written in our laws. You were talking natural law, which is common law.
Right.
It's written in the Constitution. Absolutely. And you pull all these things together. It's clear. You know, when we write our papers, we write to educate, and we do it with a purpose. At this point, the papers that we write, of course, going in to take authority is with authority. We don't care what they say. We don't care what we think. We steamroll them. We've been steamrolled for 5 years. We learned how to steamroll. We learned what they're doing, and we're doing a righteous steamroll. We're bringing the law in. We're laying it down. We're telling them what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. We're giving them an olive branch. We're letting them know we're not on a witch hunt. We just want to fix things.
Sure.
You guys want to work with us? We'll work with
sure.
you. We don't care about your past sins. That's not our business. Mm-hmm. Our business is you do the right thing right now.
Going forward.
Now, of course, people will come forward later on and say, let me tell you how Judge Joe destroyed my family, how he destroyed my children, how he destroyed my life. Now you got a wrongdoing and you got to fix it. So those skeletons will arise later, but we're not here to go on that witch hunt. We're here to bring this nation back on course where our founding fathers had put it forward, and people need to understand what that is. People do not understand what liberty is. They don't know what their heritage is. They don't understand what it is exactly they've inherited. They confuse the word freedom with liberty. Freedom and liberty is a whole different thing. We have liberty, and liberty comes from natural law. It's something that comes from God. It's unalienable right, cannot be taken away from you. And it can't be sold, it can't be traded, nothing. God gives it to every man, and when man violates that, they're in trouble with God. And there is a God that's going to judge this world at some point and deal with this problem. Jefferson said, I fear for my countrymen because of that, because the justice of God will not sleep forever. You know, they say a lot of things about Jefferson, that he wasn't a Christian or that he was a deist and he was this and that. And they say, you know, Benjamin Franklin, oh, he was a womanizer, he was this and he was that. Well, they never read his words, obviously. Of course, they're liars. But the people don't have the opportunity to read their words to know who these people are. Jefferson understood this whole country, this nation that we have. We are a nation of countries. There are 50 countries. We call them states. And each state is independent and sovereign on its own. And we've come together as a nation, and the Constitution was written and with the preamble to set forth the states that we, the people of the United States, we are the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. It's a more perfect union between the people, not the states, but between the people. Of course, that works out through the states. But the key thing is this. Only in America can you get up tomorrow morning. And if you're living in New York, you can move to Texas, you can move to Pennsylvania, you could stay there for 3 days and be a Pennsylvanian or a Texan, get all the benefits of the state as far as the law is concerned, the rights to walk into any court, to do business, to do anything, and then go to Jersey and do the same thing. You become a Jerseyan the moment you decide to be one. If you're just visiting and that's your attitude, it doesn't matter. We are the only nation set up with such a perfect harmony of that way. If you're married in New York, it's understood in Texas and so on and so forth. There are certain things that are the guidelines and is the same in every state. Mm-hmm. So we have created, as Jefferson, I think Jefferson was the, well, there's no doubt that Jefferson put, there's no doubt that in this Constitution that Jefferson really put together this preamble, because it covers the eight principles, what he called the eight ancient principles. And it goes on, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, that's number one. Two, establish justice. Three, ensure the domestic tranquility. Four, provide for the common defense. Five, promote the general welfare. And six, secure the blessings of liberty, which includes the right of life, the right of privacy, the right to be left the heck alone. Just leave me alone. Don't ask me for my license and registration. Don't stop me in the streets. Don't ask me who I am, because it's none of your business. If I violate an individual, it's your business then to do something. Until then, no. The other thing is the only true troop peace officer in the United States is the sheriff. Everyone else is a corporate cop working for the corporation, and they are upholding the codes of the corporation.
That's a fact.
And they're fleecing us for money. I sit in these courts, and I watch people come up and kneel and genuflect and thank the judge after he hits them for a fine or puts them in jail, and they go willingly to jail. Okay. What they don't realize is they don't have to go to jail. They can deny it. Of course, it's an uphill battle. But when we get this country back on track, it'll be what it is. But the bottom line gets back here to the Fifth Amendment. No person shall be held to answer for a crime unless a presentment or an indictment by the grand jury. Period. End of subject. So when that police officer stops you in the streets for any reason other than something that is you've done something unlawful. Speeding isn't necessarily unlawful, but it could be dangerous, so there could be, you have to interpret it in a certain way, and that could be understood very quickly, because I think it's reason. Look, I don't have to stop at the lights because it's red. I stop at the lights because it's a good idea, okay? Not because I might get a ticket, although that is the fear of people, that you might get a ticket. But I stop at the red lights because I don't want to get into an accident.
Now, sir,
it makes
sir,
all the sense
in
the world.
Interject one thing real important here, okay? Because in steak and potatoes language, all of our listeners, when we start hearing this and we understand who we are and what our rights are, at the same time, we need to be respectful and courteous, especially for those corporate law enforcement officials that have
Absolutely.
No idea what you're talking about. So if you become an adversary to them and you become disrespectful, you're not going to accomplish anything. You can't go running around with guns telling the police that you're a free-thinking human being with unalienable rights and expect that you're going to accomplish something, because even those people have no idea who they are and what their role is. They think they're doing the right thing.
Absolutely right. Look, if you get stopped by a police officer, you know, and he gives you a ticket, it makes no sense to argue. I never do.
Right.
I become friends with them. I talk to them. I'm polite to them.
Sir,
yes, sir. Thank you, sir. And more often than not, they let me go. Okay? And, hey, that's great for me.
Right.
But the thing is if I'm going to argue, I'm going to argue with the judge. That's where I'm going to make my stand. But that's if I got time. I may pay the ticket. I put tickets into my desk drawer, and later at some point when we get common law back, I might go back and deal with those judges. But that's not important at the moment. But the important thing ultimately, again, is bringing this nation back on point. And we're just using examples of different things. And here's the key. Any code, okay, statutes are made – The purpose of statutes and the authority to make statutes is given in the Constitution, and it's and you'll find it in Article 1, Section 8, exactly where you had pointed out in 16 and 17. Mm-hmm. And they have the law, particularly through 17, the right to make a law for anything concerning the earlier 16 paragraphs. But they can't go outside of that. And nowhere in those paragraphs will you see that it gave them the authority to write statutes to control the people's behavior. That's our job. And Benjamin Franklin said it very quite clearly. He says only a godly people can really have this, what we've given you, this kind of a government. And so we have to be a people of principles. And Jefferson went on to say we have to teach the people. You know, only the people can save America, but if they don't know how can they do it?
Yes, sir.
Thomas Jefferson said, I know no safer depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves. Mm-hmm. And if we think them enlightened, not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of the constitutional powers. And that is the principle and the very paragraph that National Liberty Alliance is built upon. We are here to educate people. We facilitate an education. We facilitate an organization of the people around the nation. We facilitate a communication. And we're there for anybody who has any questions or any concerns on how to do things. We're there to answer those things. And if we cannot answer, we'll find the answer.
Because ultimately, we'll volunteer to fall under their acts and statutes. And if we're, and that's what we're doing, because we're not educating ourselves, we will volunteer to go by their rules. And we think that we're following law and order, but they capitalize and exploit on our ignorance because we haven't educated ourselves. The only thing we have to go by is what acts and statutes they put before us, right? And that's how they win.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Judge Bork, those who know who Judge Bork is, Judge Bork said that 80% of the people in jail are there because they opened their mouth. In other words, they took a plea. If you go back to the Constitution and you say to the judge, excuse me, Judge, where is the indictment? What am I here for? I cannot be held under the Fifth Amendment. No person shall be held to answer. I can't be held to answer anything. You go get yourself an indictment, and then I'll come in and I'll answer. And you see, that's how you have to deal with these people. Of course, they're going to try to steamroll you often and do other things, and there's ways to deal with that. But look, the thing is this: on the simpler things, you know, if you want to learn how to work the courts, make the argument in the court. Worst case is you lose, and you'll have to pay the fine. At least you could try if you want to learn. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have the time, then just pay the ticket, put it aside. Maybe you'll go back later on when common law gets into play. Mm-hmm. But we'll bring this nation back, and we'll be, again, not only a free people, but a prosperous people. And Jefferson spoke about the prosperous of the people of Israel, because this is where he got it from.
Do you mind if I interrupt real quick?
Sure.
I need to, because I need to understand this, because right now I'm not properly educated. I could probably take what little information you've given me or our listeners and say, oh my goodness, you know, I'm going to go to court with my Constitution in hand. And there's really no infrastructure per se or no real advice. Maybe I'm a victim of the timing of a ticket or whatever it may be, and I haven't properly educated myself. What you're doing right now, is it not true that you're trying to set it up so that we have that common law grand jury in the court system that's going to say, you know what, we need to follow these rules and regulations and maybe either help give people the advice they need or the information that they need in order to fight that. Otherwise, you're on your own. And if you're not properly educated, you're probably better off saving yourself some time and just paying the ticket, right?
Okay. Well, that's correct. And even in today's environment, you'll spend a lot of time trying to fight it, and that's a problem. But there are strategies that we have discovered and created by discovering them, ultimately, of how to deal with these people. And maybe we'll talk about that at a later point. But I'd really like to get back to the foundation that's necessary.
Yep.
You know, one of the key things you have to understand with the grand jury is the power of the grand jury. And the power of the grand jury is to fix and repair all wrongdoings that they find, whether it be in the political or judicial realm, which means that if you find a person that is elected or appointed or even a bureaucrat that's just hired, it doesn't matter, and you find them doing something wrong, we're setting up a system when we get this from the Magna Carta, paragraph 61, where we put together four administrators, four people in every county. That's what we're building right now. And by the way, we need thousands of people across the nation. Mm-hmm. We need a lot more. We need like about 15 to 20,000 people that are going to step up and take these positions. And it's a full-time job, and we'll be taking this job away from the prosecutors and the judges and giving it right to the people. And those four individuals become the investigative body for the grand jury. They have the ability, they are the connection, the filtering system, but a righteous filtering system, not like this government is, but we are the connection between the people and the grand jury. And when the people make a phone call, we'll make sure our phone calls, our phone numbers are available for every county. We're going to create a directory right on our website. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it'll be posted other places. And anybody has a problem, they go to their county, their state, their county, they make the phone call, they'll get the investigative body. And they'll say to him, hey, look, I got a problem. I was dealing with this guy over here in this office over here in this agency, and this is what happened. So we say, okay, wait a minute. Let's get on the phone. You make a two-way call. You get Joe Schmo on the phone. You say, hey, look, I got one of the people here, the owners of this country, and he's had a problem with you, and we've got to fix this. We've got to straighten this out. And then we settle the problem right there and get it over with. We don't need to go to court for that unless they refuse. Mm-hmm. We'll give them a written prescription. We'll put it into the record. They do it again. Now we're bringing them before the grand jury. Mm. But other than that, we can fix most problems just by communications. Even if someone was wronged, I mean, we have the principles all set out. It's in the Bible. That's where Jefferson got it from. That's where our founding fathers built this nation upon, which is called common law. Not the laws of men, the laws of God. Mm-hmm. And even God has laws and statutes. His laws require man to enforce them. You know, the Bible says if a man takes the life of another, then by man shall his blood be shed. So he's given the authority of the people through the process of the grand jury, by the way, not the government.
Can I make a suggestion?
To make that decision if that's what they feel.
Can I make a suggestion? Even if you say, okay, we need lots of people, we're going to do this. Let me ask you this. Shouldn't our first order of business, like me, myself, if I wanted to contribute, the first order of business is not just to protect myself, and I mean this sincerely. We have a lot of people who are in jail right now, who are incarcerated. They couldn't afford proper legal representation. Shouldn't our first order of business be to say, you know what, this guy is in jail for having pot in his possession. It's time to release him on these following grounds. Uncommon law.
Absolutely. Look, but we do have something, a first order of business, and we teach to everyone that comes in because people get excited and they want to start fixing things. And first we got to get into and take control. We have to take the authority. We have to get into the courts to actually act. Mm-hmm. So the first order of business is to get into the courts. Anything we do from an indictment or a presentment, mm-hmm. Presentments are indictments. Really, we do presentments because the prosecutor isn't bringing it to us. It's something we find, so it's a presentment, but it's equal to an indictment. It's the same thing. So we're doing only presentments that will bring us into power. Mm-hmm. Anything that'll, for instance, this case with Eric Gardner down in Staten Island, New York. This was an important case, a grave misjustice. I know cases even more severe than what you saw there. I see these things happening with children, okay? Mm-hmm. But the thing is that this case was something that might catapult us into the news because we're trying to get into the news. We do what we can, but the news doesn't want to pick us up.
Right.
But in any event, we will deal with that because it is the poster child case to be made for the grand jury and the need for the grand jury, because the grand jury they have is corrupt and it really fulfills the desires and the needs of these people that control the judicial process, which actually is the Bar Association. Mm-hmm. But in any event, the key thing is we have to stay focused. Our first order of business is to secure the nation. Mm-hmm. We have to bring our courts back into common law. Once we have a seat in that courtroom, once we get in, and I believe we're going to be in very soon, once we get into those courtrooms and start to take control of the process within those courthouses, then any judge that goes outside of the common law and tries to bring that fiction and hijack someone into a foreign court will be indicted immediately. We're not even going to give them a second chance because they will well have been informed once we come in, because we will inform them of the law and how it's going to work and what they're going to do, and if they don't like it, they can leave.
Quick question.
Other than that, you break it, we'll indict you.
Quick question, and by the way, we're going to go to the top of the hour news break. We can continue on during the top of the hour news break, or I can give you guys the five-minute news break to take care of business, and then we can come back and do less commercial interruptions. Here's my quick question to you.
Okay. How long is your program, by the way? Is it 3 hours, right?
We have the next hour. Can you stay with me into the next hour? Because there's a lot.
We'd love to look at to really get this for you to educate your listeners. Really, we should take on as much time as you can give us, and we need to really set the prerequisite, which is really the power of what we're doing, and then all this other stuff has more meaning and more realistic.
Yes, I want to keep you for the entire rest of the program, which is the next hour. Let's take the top of the hour news break. We'll come back. We'll continue on right where we were. So the first order of business, sir, I absolutely agree. Get into the courts to secure our nation, to put these judges on notice that they're in violation of the U.S. Constitution, natural law, common law, and that's all we're looking to do. You know, we are of flesh and blood, sent here by our God with certain unalienable rights, ladies and gentlemen. It cannot be taken away. They cannot be given away. That's what we're shooting for. That's exactly what we're shooting for as human beings, as individuals. And that's how we're going to take our nation back. I believe so. Every county, every court, every state. We don't even need Washington, D.C. I'll be back with John and Gerard right after the top of the hour news break.
Okay, here it is. Life Change T's commitment to excellence. Once again, Ronnie McMullen here, challenging you to a better lifestyle and health. On my radio show, I challenge people to think and act on good mental health, and this, in turn, promotes great physical health. Life Change T is a head start product to help aid your health and bring you your best life. And Life Change T doesn't taste like tea. It tastes great. So now, here's your holiday bonus. Buy now a 1 month supply, and we'll give you 2 weeks for free. It's our holiday giveaway, and it's the best sell of the year. Lose weight and feel great this holiday season. So order now. Call 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Remember, we love our customers, and our customers love our tea. GetTheTea.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've been watching our YouTube live broadcast, you've probably seen me vaping throughout the show. In fact, I've been vaping for almost 2 years now, and I love it. Recently, we found out about a company called Taro Labs, which makes their own unique, flavorful blends of juice, and they also have the highest quality hardware available. GMN has teamed up with Taro Labs to develop our own line of GMN juice, and they've helped me put together a high-value hardware kit for our listeners. Visit GMNvape.com to order all your vaping supplies. It's a great way to support GMN while you're vaping with some of the most explosive flavors you'll ever find. GMN juice is manufactured right here in the United States and delivered right to your door. Remember, smoking is out and vaping is great. Start vaping now with GMN juice and experience the tastiest clouds in the universe. Go to GMNvape.com. That's GMNvape.com.
GMN is giving the finger to the NSA.
Okay, you saw? He died.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Brady. Just back in the U.S. after 5 years in a Cuban prison, the release of American Alan Gross, along with a prisoner swap of spies, touches off sweeping changes in U.S. policy. Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern is live at the White House.
The release of Alan Gross is the capstone to more than a year of back-channel talks between U.S. and Cuban officials.
Today, the United States wants to be a partner in making the lives of ordinary Cubans a little bit easier.
President Obama signaling a major thaw with the Cold War adversary, plans to establish an embassy in Havana and urging Congress to lift a half-century-old trade embargo. U.S. and Cuban delegations have been in talks hosted by Canada since last year. President Obama also noting a key role played by Pope Francis in that dialogue. Lisa.
Jared, thanks.
This entire policy shift announced today is based on an illusion. On a lie.
Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio, whose parents fled Cuba in the 1950s, says President Obama has let the Cuban people down by, quote, conceding to the oppressors.
And received no assurances of any advances in democracy and freedom in return.
But Vermont Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy calls the current policy a relic of the Cold War and says President Obama has done the right thing. Cuban President Raul Castro welcomes restoring relations, saying in a televised address to his people, the two nations have to learn to live with their differences in a civilized manner. New York State taking the first steps to ban hydraulic fracturing or fracking, citing too many unanswered questions and unresolved health issues. The state's environmental commissioner is recommending a ban, and Governor Andrew Cuomo is leading it up to his environmental chief and health commissioner. Supporters insist the gas drilling technique is safe. Stocks have been rallying as oil rebounds, the Dow up more than 170 points. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
This is Doug Benson from the hit podcast Doug Loves Movies. Stay tuned for this week's Watch This Not That movie review after a word from our sponsor.
There's no better time to upgrade your phone at Walmart, because when you sign up for AT&T Next, you can upgrade to a Samsung Galaxy S5 for zero down. AT&T Next lets you upgrade every 12 months, so there's only one place for wireless. Walmart, more ways to Christmas joy.
Requires eligible installment agreement, qualified credit, and wireless service plan. Tax due at sale. If canceled, wireless service device balance due. New device after 1 year requires 12 installments. Eligible trade-in and new purchase. Other charges and restrictions apply. See AT&T.com/next or a store for details.
Hey everybody, Doug Benson here. In theaters now, The Penguins of Madagascar and Horrible Bosses 2. The Penguins of Madagascar features the voices of Benedict Cumberbatch and John Malkovich. And Horrible Bosses 2 features the voice in my head telling me I've already seen this movie. So see The Penguins of Madagascar, not Horrible Bosses 2. This has been Watch This, Not That. Don't forget to check out my podcast, Doug Loves Movies, on iTunes.
An election decision just made in court in Arizona means Republicans will have their biggest majority in Congress in more than 80 years. Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal with this live.
Lisa, it was the last undecided federal election, the race for Arizona's second congressional district, and the first female fighter pilot to fly in combat has won. Republican Martha McSally beat Democratic incumbent Ron Barber in the November race by 161 votes. Anything under 200 triggers an automatic recount. Barber had beat McSally 2 years ago. He won after being injured in a shooting that targeted his boss, Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. When the judge read the results today, it turned out McSally won by an additional 6 votes. McSally's win gives Republicans a historic majority in the House now, Lisa.
Jessica, thanks. The latest Fed decision just in, keeping interest rates the same for now, and Wall Street has a huge rally now underway. The Dow is up more than 300 points. A settlement between the Justice Department and a group of Muslims over a mosque in suburban Minneapolis.
The Abu Huraira group has fought to use the former Medtronic headquarters in St. Anthony, Minnesota, as a mosque. But the city rejected the Muslim group's plan, arguing the proposal didn't fit in with current zoning restrictions. Then the Department of Justice stepped in, calling the city's response a blatant violation of freedom of religion, before all sides reached a compromise.
One that all Minnesotans can be proud of. All of us came together for justice, fairness.
Minnesota U.S. Attorney and Democrat Andrew Luger, the city council in St. Anthony, will vote and expects to approve the mosque. The Abu Huraira group hopes to open sometime next year.
Fox Radio's Jeff Manasso. A judge has just overturned the murder conviction of a 14-year-old black boy in what was then segregated South Carolina, saying the boy should never have been executed for the deaths of two white girls in 1944. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Everybody, if you've been watching our YouTube live broadcast, you've probably seen me vaping throughout the show. In fact, I've been vaping for almost 2 years now, and I love it. Recently, we found out about a company called Taro Labs, which makes their own unique, flavorful blends of juice, and they also have the highest quality hardware available. GMN has teamed up with Taro Labs to develop our own line of GMN juice, and they've helped me put together a high-value hardware kit for our listeners. Visit GMNvape.com to order all your vaping supplies. It's a great way to support GMN while you're vaping with some of the most explosive flavors you'll ever find. GMN juice is manufactured right here in the United States and delivered right to your door. Remember, smoking is out and vaping is great. Start vaping now with GMN juice and experience the tastiest clouds in the universe. Go to GMNvape.com. That's GMNvape.com.
Okay, gentlemen, I have John DeRash and Gerard with me from the National Liberty Alliance. If you've been listening since they first came on, you're going to understand why I'm not only excited, but very, very optimistic about the power that we, the people, have in our U.S. Constitution. I've been talking about, you know, restoring the U.S. Constitution. And quite frankly, I'll be honest, just like everybody else, I didn't even know what I was restoring because I didn't properly educate myself. And in most cases, I didn't even pick it up and read it like most Americans. Okay. John and Gerard, I want to turn it back over to you. We're going to go with very limited commercial interruptions as we do this next hour in this inaugural. I want to open up this next segment to also let everybody know your website, nationallibertyalliance.org, is the place to go to get yourself well educated. And also, we're going to follow up. And do I have your commitment to have you or Gerard come on a weekly basis for at least a 1 hour segment to educate our listening audience?
Yeah, absolutely. And Gerard will probably be the one to do that, but I'll probably come on from time to time. We'll probably take turns, but absolutely.
Sure.
We want to get the word out to anybody who wants to listen.
Excellent. Okay.
But let me move back to some framework here and then maybe see if Gerard wants to add anything to this, which will really help us for our conversation, to really understand, you know, really more about National Liberty Alliance and our structure. You know, we've been working for 18 months work through and organize the entire United States. And inside of less than 18 months, just under 18 months, we were able to establish a presence in all 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did is we actually went and took out we gave news releases to the newspapers in every county across the nation. And we did this state by state, county by county. And we released the news releases within the counties, letting the people know that we, the people, are intending on bringing back the common law. And we invite them there to introduce them to the common law and the grand jury and process, that is, and how they could be a partner with us in this, and by the raising of their hand to approval. And it's been almost unanimous all the way through the entire United States.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, you get someone who just isn't listening to something.
Can I ask you, how do the courts, let's say, for instance, you walk up on the courthouse steps and you go into our county courts, how are they receiving this? What if we...
They got their backs up. They're not at all. They've responded with the FBI, federal agents of other types. They didn't spend much more than a day with us because very quickly they realized that they were... Because we would change the interview around ultimately. We're friendly with them and so on and so forth, but you know, what's your name? What's your badge number? What are you doing here? What's the cause for you coming out? You know, they're on fishing expeditions and they realize it, so they kind of back off very quickly. So the judges have exhausted their legal process against us. It doesn't exist. They tried to argue with us in the beginning, but then all of a sudden they went to dead silence because their argument was turned to, you know, just ripped to shreds, and all they were doing is getting themselves in more trouble.
Wow.
So we're met with silence, and silence is a fraud, because when you have a place in government, particularly as a judge, you have a duty to speak.
Yes.
You cannot remain silent. You must speak. And if you don't speak, then it's fraud on the court, and you're guilty, and you could be indicted for that. And so all of these judges are indictable at this point. Not that we're going to indict all the judges,
sure,
but we'll see what we're going to do at some point. We do have a plan, and we've taken it through the New York State court system completely. We've discovered and shown that that is a totally dysfunctional system, that it doesn't work. It's failed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really RICO on steroids, and I don't those words were chosen very carefully, RICO on steroids. We're up against ultimately organized crime.
Yeah.
And now we've moved into the federal courts, and we found the same thing there. And we were moving through the United States Supreme Court. And so far, it's a little unnerving, but we may be finding the very same thing there. Even though we have friends up there, it could be that they have a gun to the head. But we do have a plan, and we're executing it piece by piece. It's coming very close to where I think it's just going to break down the system, and we're going to get in. Because there'll be no choice at some point. But getting back to the framework,
yes,
is we went out and did the honorable thing. We spent our time in order to organize. We actually went from state to state, not personally, although we have gone to other states here in New England area. We went up to states to help them out to bring this thing together. And other people from other states have done the same with their states nearby. But we've established a presence, we the people, that's the we, not necessarily NLA. We, the people, have established, with NLA as the facilitator to do this, have established a presence in every single state. Mm-hmm. We've established, we're establishing each of the counties. We continue to establish each of the counties with a leadership role. We're looking for leaders in every county, people who will step up and potentially take the position of administrators in the court system, which is within their counties, for administrators for every county, and, of course, large counties like the New York City counties, Bronx, Brooklyn, they might need eight. They'll have to figure that out. But in any event, or six, or whatever number they come up with. Mm-hmm. But in any event, the bottom line is bring the people into the courts to actually take control and become the real watchers of these people. Because if you bring justice back into the courts, you have returned it to the entire political system. Because we're now watching them, and we will indict in a heartbeat. We'll first, of course, warn. We'll write them a prescription. They'll fix it. Or we'll indict them. And it's very simple. We'll bring that before the grand jury. We're only the administrators, which is what we're developing, which is the investigative body. Mm-hmm. We'll try to work things out and make it work without going to court. But if they're not going to obey, we will call the 25 people within that county, you know, just pull them out of a pool. We don't make a decision on black, white, or male or female. Just pull 25 people out. They're the people. And we'll give them the prerequisite of being, you know, oriented prior. We get 8 hours to orient them. And then they'll sit as grand jurors for a week or two or so many days, however it has to work out. And we will bring the cases before them, lay it out, and we will do our best to convince them that this should go to court. And, of course, they will make the final decision, and it's a popular, you know. If it's 13 against 12, then they go to court. Now, of course, once they go to court, they get 12 people and two spare wheels. In other words, you get 14 people sitting on a jury. Only 12 decide, but those other two are spares in case someone gets sick or something happens. Mm-hmm. But so you got the 12 people. Now, that has to be unanimous. In order for a person to be found guilty of anything, it has to be all 12. There's no such thing as a hung jury from the sense of, well, we've got to redo the case over. No. If one jurist, you just can't change their mind, and they come to the point and realize, we're not going to change this person, that's it. They got to let them go. Okay?
Because that's double jeopardy, right?
What? Well, the point is you have to be convicted by, what is it, 12% or 13% of the population, however the number works out by 12. Well, actually, it's less. It's 8% or something. Mm-hmm. So the number 12 came up, and maybe the number 12 came up out of the Bible because of the nation of Israel and maybe the 12 disciples. 12 is a number of fullness in the Bible, so maybe that's where they came up with the number 12. Mm-hmm. And it's the best system man can have. So you have to convince 12 people that this person is guilty. And if one person just isn't buying it, then that's the way it is. That's a reasonable doubt, and you got to let them go.
Right.
And you can't go back and retry them. It's over. You know, I just heard in the news where that judge just overturned a 1948 case. It's unfortunate, but that judge really didn't even have the power or the authority to do that anyway. Although it's probably right, that case was probably unrighteous and was probably wrong, but I don't really know it, so I can't really comment. Mm-hmm. But going back to what we're doing here is we're developing 4 people in each county to take the leadership role in the county because this is a grassroots effort. This is, you know, where the rubber meets the road effort. Those 4 individuals are on their own to work out to make sure that the law is obeyed and applied. Mm-hmm. And to be with mercy, too. And, again, getting back to the guiding rules, we don't want rules. We have principles, honor, justice, and mercy. That's what guides us. So we have to police ourselves because if I'm in there working with Joe and Mary and Frank and Joe all of a sudden is not being honorable, I'm going to let him know. And he's going to fix that. And this is what we're teaching people to have to do. Police yourself. You guys work it out. You know what's right and wrong. We, the people, always know. Listen to the story. You figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So if Joe isn't listening, I'm going to go talk to Frank and Mary and say, hey, look, this is what Joe's doing, and this isn't right. And they'll say, oh, yeah, you're right. Joe, fix it. Oh, and he refuses to fix it, he's out of there. He just lost himself a job because the 3 of them can get rid of them. Now, of course, we've also said, because there could be a problem with that too, you know, that person has the right to appeal, and they can appeal to the surrounding counties to sit in and listen to what happened and if it was unrighteous or righteous. So you see, there's always a process. Mm-hmm. But the point is we have to police ourselves.
Right.
And we teach the people, if we're going to go in there and we're going to try to create rules and bog us down, we're going to become them. And before you know it, we're going to be taken over by rules because that's how they do it. They change the rules.
Three principles, two maxims to keep it simple,
right? That's it. Right. Is nothing more than that. And, of course, education. We need to get back into the schools. We have a plan to do that. We have the first order of business is a 30-day plan. It's a 30-day program. We do nothing but focus in on our state, working together on a national level. But we're focusing in our state. We're dealing with our congressmen. We're dealing with our U.S. senators. We're dealing with our governor. We're dealing with our state assembly and our state senators.
Wow.
And we're going to breed them the Riot Act. We're going to go and we're going to lay it out. They're going to obey the law. They're going to lose their job. If they don't like it, resign now, because we the people, mommy and daddy is home. We've had it. It's done.
If you don't mind, let's push the button. Just remember where we left off here, okay? I want to bring up the quo warranto. That's how I was introduced to your organization.
Three more minutes, and then I'll let Gerard pipe in to fill in, and then we'll get into the quo warranto.
Okay, I want to talk about that, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so basically this is how we have to structure it. Now, the first 30 days, like I said, you know, there's a lot of work to do. We have to deal with all those entities that I mentioned. But the most important one and the first one, and we're already doing this, is to deal with the sheriff, to communicate with him, to make him to understand. We just wrote a paper, and it is purposely written for the sheriff, and it's the duty of the sheriff by what authority. Because we heard from a sheriff who said, look, I really would like to do the right thing, but I don't know what the law is. They don't know. They go to the prosecutor. They go to a lawyer. They go to a judge to be told what to do. And if they're there to prevent the fox from raiding the hen house, well, you don't go to the fox to figure out what the law is, okay? So we're going through a process of educating. We're educating right now. We're educating the sheriff. We're educating the marshals. We're educating the military. We're educating the chief of staff. We're educating the Congress. We're educating the Senate. Mm-hmm. Also the two houses in our own states. Mm-hmm. We're educating the judges. We're educating even the clerks by filing it in every federal court in the nation. Everything we do is recorded in every federal court across the nation so that they can't expunge it. That's why we did that. And believe me, they are not sleeping at night right now. They're going through cardiac arrest. They're going through convulsions because we're putting their sins on paper and they can't just make it disappear. And more people are seeing it, and the numbers are growing, and the pressure is building, and things are going to happen. So we have a series of papers. We've already written most of them, and they're going through the process to be filed into the courts as we can, and for the purpose of educating all the oath takers in America. All of them. And in that process, when the time comes, they're going to know what the right thing to do is when that final last step happens.
Just out of curiosity, have you – well, the CSPOA is the one organization that I've favored because I've got a relationship with Sheriff Mack. He's been on the show. He's done a great job of educating. The CSPOA taken a look at this to help educate their contacts, those –
There's communications going on right now behind the scenes with different people throughout our organization, if I might call it an organization. Really, we're the people, and we try to make a separation. We're not a group. We're not really an organization. NLA is a facilitator, and it's the people power, by the people, for the people, in the neighborhoods, grassroots, true, and to maintain it. Yeah. We're setting the system up that once we're in power and once we lock it down and lay down what we've got and train the people, we have a training course that people must go through. It's a civics course we have right up online right now. People need to take that civics course. It's free to become an administrator. Or people could just take the civics course because they want to learn about America and figure out what's going on and understand common law and the Constitution and so on. So they can come up and take that. But the bottom line, ultimately, is we have to take control on the grassroots level. And once we get there and it gets sparked up and it goes, it's got to operate off principles. And if it's operating off principles, then it's under God and not under man, and it'll hold its own and it cannot be captured again. Mm. And that's what we want to really fortify and get the people totally educated that take this first step for the beginning of this new time. Hopefully, we will be able to organize quick enough to save the nation before they pull their plugs, you know. Mm-hmm. But in any event, and I think we very well may be able to do this, but the key is the sheriff. And this paper empowers the sheriff. It talks about the posse comitatus and his duty and his powers. It talks about he is the highest court enforcement officer, and we give all the authorities on how – we're not just saying these words. We're giving them the authorities. Here it is. Here's the proof. And so they can look at this paper and understand what their power and to empower them. For finally they can stand up and see when they walk into a court, I got to get the cuffs out and take this judge right off the bench now. Okay, they need to look at if the sheriffs now understood what the true common law is, if they understood what the law of the land is, Article 6, Paragraph 2 of the United States Constitution, that all judges must obey, if they understood what the law of the land is, I'm telling you that jails would be filled with judges. And but they don't know. So right. So that's what we realize. And we've been as ignorant as they have been. Sure. So we have to be tolerant, and we have to educate them. We have to walk with them as children, so to speak, on this level, until they can step up, get their wings, and fly. And we need to do that with everybody, all of our elected officials, the people themselves, our children in our schools. We have to get a real education, a Jefferson education. We have plans for that, too. But everything in time. But it's going to take 30 days to secure each state, to prepare each sheriff to understand what his duty is should they try to pull martial law. The purpose of martial law is to control an occupied nation. That is the only purpose. In war, we did it during World War II, where once we took over Germany and so on, or any other place, the first order of business was martial law. That is to control the will of the people, in order to bring law and order, what we think is law and order. Well, look, we are an occupied nation, unfortunately. We're occupied by these crazy people who have taken control of our government. And so they want to pull martial law in here, and that's unlawful. And the sheriff has to understand that. He has to meet that with equal force. The feds cannot come into this state. I live in New York. They shouldn't come into New York. All of the sheriffs need to understand that the feds don't belong here. They are the top cop. And, you know, if there's a problem in a state of emergency, you are responsible. You are responsible to call the people, posse comitatus, to pull them together, either with their weapons or with their shovels, to do whatever it is that needs to be done to protect and to secure this county. And that needs to be repeated 3,143 times across America. And that is where we're heading. It's going to take 30 days to establish that structure. And that is the major part of our plan. Now, as we're going to go through this process, we first have to get into the courts. We have a plan, and I don't believe they're going to bear against it. They may break before we get to the final point, but we have a final point, which we know at that point we will get in. But until then, it's very possible that they may break before that. Now, our eyes right now are on the United States Supreme Court, because I'll tell you right now, and this message needs to get out to whoever it could. Right now, the weight of the nation, the salvation of the nation rests in, right now at this point, it rests in the people, and the people will do it if this person doesn't do it. But it can happen tomorrow morning. We could wake up tomorrow morning, a free nation, tomorrow, if Anton Scalia gets a hold of the papers, which we have sent to him from 50 directions plus one. Every state of the union has sent a paper to Anton Scalia. We sent the quo warranto. And we've sent the mandamus that we demand him and every other federal judge and the United States Supreme Court judges to sign. It's on his desk. It's got to be on his desk unless they're holding it from him. But the point is this. He needs to understand right now the safety of this nation right now is in his pen on his desk. All he's got to do is pick up and sign that paper, and tomorrow morning every county will have to obey that order. We will walk into every court with the sheriff, because the order is in the papers, with the sheriff on our left shoulder. And when they deny us or reject us, we let them know we brought the sheriff with us, because he's taking you away in handcuffs right now if you want to continue to stay in our way. And this is how we, the people, will take control back of our nation in every courthouse across America. We do need more help. So people are hearing this message right now, and they're coming to understand what it is that we're talking about. They have to realize this is your duty. You owe it to your posterity. Yeah. You owe it to your neighbors, your friends, yourself. You owe it to America. Right now, you can't walk away from this. You have to stand up, and woe is you, woe is me, if we do not perform our duties.
Yes.
Get behind us, get into the game, become a member, learn the civics course. Even if you don't want to be an administrator, that's fine. Get behind the administrators to push them in. We need administrators across this nation. We need the people to step up and take control. We're almost there. Now, if Anton Scalia signs that paper, it's over. And we're putting the pressure on all nine judges up there, justices up there in Washington. And they need to obey the law themselves. Now, if they don't respond, they too are open to a presentment from we the people. And if it happens, if we put a presentment against the United States Supreme Court, and we put a presentment against all nine judges, it will come from all 50 states plus one, which is the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, working with every state. And that's where we're heading to if we have to. But right now, there are other things. We're putting pressures on other places. We're starting to put pressure on Congress. We're starting to put pressure on our state Congress. We're training and working with the sheriff and also, like I said, the marshals, the military, and so on. But with that, Gerard, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, there's a couple things I'd like to expound a little further on and clear up.
Now, please, we're going to take one break, by the way. As soon as you hear the music, it's a 27-minute mark, and then just pick up right where we left off with limited interruption. Go ahead, Gerard.
Okay, so I don't have a lot of time here, but I want to talk about the authority and the power of this, and I want to put it in perspective.
27 is 1 minute away. You want to wait, and then we'll
I'm just going to highlight what I'm going to talk about, which is number one is the authority. Number one is what we discovered in the courts and why they purged the records and why we did the strategy we did, which really revealed that they know what's going on because they wouldn't be pulling papers out of records if they didn't know what was going on. So right there, that's a strike against them. You know, we were always looking for the good judges that would do the right thing, and we didn't find any because they all removed papers. And so when we decided to file them, we filed them all over the United States. So now it's impossible for them to deny the charges that we're making over top of them. You see, that's what bothers them because now their crimes are documented, and that's what they don't want. That's what they haven't.
Okay. Gerard, just push the pause button, and as soon as we come back, we'll get right into it. I won't even take a long introduction into the next segment. Because when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go commercial uninterrupted to the 57-minute mark and not conclude anything. Actually, it's the beginning of a journey here, ladies and gentlemen. I said I'm optimistic. This is why I've brought these gentlemen on. I'm optimistic that we can do this. I feel very, very optimistic that you hearing this has a sense of energy about this. I think we can do something. We'll be right back right after this message. Wow.
Live from the Overthrow Bunker in FEMA Region 9, you're listening to The Pete Santilli Show.
Okay, the only thing I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you what I've been doing during the break, and I want everyone to do this. If you're hearing my voice right now, either on the live broadcast or the rebroadcast, you need to, I guess by my own example, I need to get educated. I'm going to take the civics course. There's nothing more important than that. I'm going to take the civics course from top to bottom. I just signed in. You go to nationallibertyalliance.org, click on the button civics course. I just signed up. I'm uploading my picture, and I need to get cracking. Back to you, Gerard.
Before Gerard goes, I just want to make a comment about the civics course. We just got it up there. We have had some bugs, so please don't get too frustrated. We are working on it. We have someone working on it today, and we'll be working on it every hour for the rest of the day, for the next couple of days, okay. You know, 8 hours a day, whatever it takes to make sure we clean up all those bugs. So be patient if you get stuck.
That's fine. Absolutely. We're steak and potatoes. We're very right. Understanding of that. Thank you very much for letting us know. All right, Gerard.
Yeah. Picking up from where I left off with the courts and what National Liberty Alliance is doing is, you know, you look at us, you ever see one of those climbing walls with the little stones that stick out and you got to work your way to the top?
Yes, sir.
And you look up and it doesn't really look like it's possible to get up there. But then you watch this little guy go up there and before you know it, he's climbing up to the top of the wall. But how's he doing it? Is he's finding these little stones that stick out of the wall, these little levers, so to speak, that he puts his feet on, and he picks his whole body up. That's basically what our forefathers left us. They left us levers all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know, they say there's three boxes in American government. You know, you got the voting box, the jury box, and the cartridge box. Well, that's it. We don't want to get to the cartridge box, but inside of those boxes are other levers that our forefathers left us. Mm-hmm. And what this is a great fight to be in because, people look at us, they think we're gurus, we're this, we're that, but all we're doing is standing on the shoulders of our forefathers who went before us.
Yes,
I can sound so intelligent just by reading their words and repeating them, there's nothing new under the sun here that we're doing. This is all, you know, comes out of common law and tradition and all things that have gone before us.
And Gerard, can I make a very special point? This is one thing that I've always recognized and try to make everyone understand. It doesn't require a PhD in order to take our country back.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not, because certainly I don't have a PhD. I mean,
yeah. $1 billion to run a campaign, does
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Right?
So all that being said, you know, everybody has their own idea, their own little pet peeve. And what they don't realize is these chinks fit into the bigger picture. Now, we know that the sheriff is a very important guy and that he's an enforcement arm of the people. He's elected by the people. He answers to the people and makes them very unique in our society, especially in the police state that we live in. It's very important to protect them.
Hey, now, Gerard, can I add one more thing to it? As we interact with each other, as a matter of fact, if we start getting into the left-right argument, Democrat versus Republican, if I go back to and I can interact with everyone, regardless of their political affiliation, economic status, if I go back to a couple of principles like honor, justice, and mercy, and of course, subscribe to the two maxims. If there's an injury, there must be a remedy, and a crime, okay? For a crime to be committed, there must be an injured party. If I stick to those, we can use those rules, per se, is how to interact with each other as we go through this process, right?
Absolutely, and that's sort of what we're missing. You know what I mean? That's not what's in effect here.
Yeah.
Anyway, everybody's hung up on authority. Every branch of the government is stuck on what authority they have. They're all jealous of it. And that's maybe a good thing because, you know, the higher courts don't let the lower courts tread on them and vice versa should be true.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they've gotten lost. You know who got lost along the way was we the people, the owners of this system.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we talk about the sheriff and we talk about, you know, him, like John was saying, he can come in and he can arrest him. We're going to require it. And he's going to go with us. You see, the sheriff is not going to do that unless there's a force of people behind him, and that is the common law grand jury. Because, look, in New York State, in our Constitution, there's some kind of a blurb in there. I don't know if you want to call it a statute or what. And it says the governor can remove a sheriff from his office for not following orders or, you know, not obeying his laws or whatever.
Right.
And it's a baloney thing because he would still have to bring him up on some kind of charges. You know what I mean? He can't. He's not a dictator. He can't pull any sheriff out of office for no cause. And the cause he'd have to prove. Well, today they can indict a ham sandwich, as John said. So the sheriffs are not protected. But when you get the common law grand jury marching forward, and the sheriff looks out and he sees that he has people and constituents who are we the people who are willing to use those things that our forefathers left us, including him, and we'll back him up. If the governor even dared try to indict him, first of all, he'd have to go in front of us, the common law grand jury. And you know what we would say? We would say, no, not guilty because he's not. You know, but you see, if he doesn't have that force of people going in, it's going to be very hard. What do you think is going to happen to a sheriff? He walks in and arrests some judge and there's no organization, no people behind him. His career is done that day because they'll just make sure that they work him right out of office, you know. And so that's why you need the people power. Now, you know, the grand jury and the jury, you know, they make the rulings and you're judged by your peers. But the sheriff can call out the militia if need be. And the grand jury can send things to the sheriff to send to the court. You know what I mean? And so what happens is even Congress can call out the militia. So if we have an enemy within and the sheriff's not calling the militia out, Congress can meet and call the militia out. But ultimately, when all is said and done, the last word is the people, because the people can do it. And that's what people have to understand, that we
so
the
sir,
people.
So, sir, I'm sorry to interrupt, because I have been and I've been with actually the citizens militia at Bundy Ranch. And we were actually faced with guns of war by our federal government. We had to defend ourselves constitutionally and lawfully. It's not a bad thing to encourage those members of our citizens' militia, even the organized ones in Texas and other states. It's okay for us to encourage the citizens' militia to be actively involved in this process, right?
Well, yeah, if you look at tradition and the way it's done, that's not a subversive or any kind of thought. It was put here for a reason, mm-hmm. that protection.
For the purposes of constitutional restoration back to common law, right?
That's correct.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You know, there's some sheriffs out there that don't believe that the grand juries can go into court without them, that they need the sheriff to bring them in first to call them up. Now, way back when the sheriff was running things in the county, he did call up the grand jury. There was no prosecutor or judge that called him up. The sheriff called him up, mm-hmm. which is okay, and he still can do that. He still has that authority. We want to give it back to him. Mm-hmm. But some of the sheriffs don't understand is the grand jury does not need the sheriff to bring them in. Like, some of these guys are so into the statutory law and these laws that they taught them how to think. They think that it has to go through a judge and a legislator, and they have to impanel. That was all designed to take the power away from the grand
jury. From we the people, right, ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Look at those guys that did that. They're afraid of a grand jury. They call them a runaway grand jury. Oh, my God, a runaway grand jury. A runaway grand jury is a grand jury that sees crime other than what the prosecutor gave them and goes after it. That's what they're supposed to do. Mm. So when we come in, the thing that empowered us was U.S. versus Williams. Everybody, one of the things you should read on our site is you should go through that case. And the most important lines of what Scalia wrote in there, which was dicta, but what he did was he laid it out and he gave the authorities of the Supreme Court rulings that backed up what he said. Mm-hmm. And he laid out how the grand jury should work. And the most important lines are highlighted in yellow there. And I'm going to read just a couple of lines that really, it's kind of what kept John and us up for days after we read it. Because, we read this a year before, but we were so busy in the court, we kind of read it and it didn't sink in. And then it was like a year later, we were like, holy mackerel, we didn't even realize what we were reading here. Mm-hmm. But he says, because the grand jury is an institution separate from the courts over whose functioning the courts do not preside, we think it clear that as a general matter, at least, no such supervisory judicial authority exists.
Wow.
And down further on A, rooted in long centuries of Anglo-American history, and he brings in all these Supreme Court cases after a lot of these sentences, Hanna versus Larch. So these are not his ideas. These are ideas that he researched and that the Supreme Court has ruled on. He's got a bunch of cases here, Frankfurt concurring in the result. The grand jury is mentioned in the Bill of Rights, but not in the body of the Constitution. It has not been textually assigned, therefore, to any of the branches described in the first three articles. It is a constitutional fixture in its own right, United States versus Chatham. And he gives all these authorities. Well, guess what? If it's a constitutional fixture in its own right, and the courts and the legislators don't have control on it, it rises up the people. We don't need permission from anybody, including the sheriff, to convene on a case, because we are the owners, and that's where we belong. And I mean,
a constitutional sheriff will reveal themselves as either participating or not, but ultimately it's not going to stop we the people, right?
Right, and he will be forced to participate because he has to obey the Constitution, the law.
Yes, sir. Wow. Okay. Outstanding. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Let me just make one point in here real quick, because we're at that point where you were talking about this. And, when the grand jury, any people, you can get four, five, six, seven people that know of some crime and they've been investigating it, especially during our times, and have pulled a lot of evidence together, and they call up the administrators of a grand jury in whatever county they call or federal district they call into, the administrators will give them leave to go directly to the grand jury themselves and give it to them. As a matter of fact, we'll even give them the opportunity to finish their investigation by giving them the authority, under the authority of the investigative body, whatever agency they want to go in and talk to, or anybody they want to talk to. They give us the agency, we'll make the phone call, we'll let the people know, we're sending down representatives, investigative body from the common law grand jury, give them whatever they need, and they got a lot of questions. Now, they go walk into that office, they can say, sir, can you get up out of that desk, and they could sit down and start going through their computer, looking in drawers. After all, we own this country. You see? Now, this is the authority of the people. This is all the people. This is our job. This is grassroots. This is we, the people, taking control of our government. And whatever we find there, we give them a prescription to fix it, if that's possible, because some of these crimes are so hideous and so unbelievable, we can't even try to fix it. We need to bring it into a court. And so we'll bring it. They have the opportunity now. We open the door to the grand jury. We call them together. Those individuals did the research, produces their case, and the grand jury decides. Unimpeded, even the administrators will not try to direct the grand jury one way or the other. We'll give them the principles and the tools to operate by prior to going in. We'll be an advisor if they need us at any time. Hey, we got a question on this or that. We'll give them advice, but it's their decision. We will not push them right or left or up or down.
Wow.
Anyway, go back, Gerard.
Well, basically, you should get in there and read U.S. versus Williams, because that's going to give you
yes.
the foundation that will excite you. It has a lot of good words in there, you know, and it's very eye-opening when you never heard it before. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he backs it up with, you know, United States Supreme Court cases that
yes.
have actually said these things in the past, you know.
If I may, also, if we want to give tasks to our listening audience, everyone listening to us right now, to put not necessarily political pressure, but to put pressure and awareness on the Supreme Court. Do we pick up the phone and call Justice Scalia's office and say, hey, please take a look at what do we reference? Is there a document that we can have him?
Yeah, the best thing to do for any of these people is reduplicate the mailing of what we're mailing. This is where the authority and the power is, and this is the message, and it's the right message. We're not
where
asking
can we find the mailing
with him. We're telling
yes,
them,
where can okay? we find the mailing? Is it the quo warranto?
We will post openly shortly as soon as we finish it up. Right now it's in a private page where we have all of the judges, everybody,
okay.
you know, every elected individual, or all the oath takers.
Okay.
But once we finish all those lists, we'll post that out on the opening as we finish
okay, so
the list.
We,
so
the
people can come up and just send it to
local jurisdictions. Then is that what you're saying?
Get it to your mayor. Get it to everybody.
Everybody. Look at you. Right now, the Coroato's been mailed. I don't know how far.
That's what everybody needs to be holding in their hands,
right.
And bring it to every place is the Coroato.
Right,
we also have the sheriff. You know, look at. Many people, everyone, the sheriff should get 10 copies of this paper we're sending out. Anybody that has the desire to do it in their county, send it to their sheriff.
That's
if you have the desire to spend some time and do it to all your sheriffs in your state, go for it. Let them receive 3-4 copies from different directions. Put a small, you know, pen or pencil written letter in there and attach it to the authorities of the sheriff and send it to them, and maybe send them a copy of a pocket constitution or a copy of the we wrote a book called the Jurist Handbooks for judges, sheriffs, and jurists
okay.
and bailiffs. So, but anyway,
okay, outstanding.
Yeah. And the advice that I have to people with this stuff, look, we got a lot of good paperwork out there. That Coroato is such a powerful document. By what authority? By what
yes.
authority? And they have to answer. Now, all these people that are marching in the street that they want to turn this into race stuff, instead of yelling, I can't breathe and my hands are up stuff, you know, and getting involved in all that, what they should be focusing on is the fact that at least in the Eric Garner case, I believe that they had a tainted grand jury. They should be going, Coroato, by what authority? Sign the mandamus. Coroato, common law grand jury, because that's where that thing fell. Look, you're going to have all kinds of mistakes all the time, but it's up to the people to bring it right. If you can't assemble.
It's not just black lives that matter. You're saying that all lives matter. Is that what you're referring to?
Exactly. Everybody should be out there waving our Coroato, because it's different than waving a sign.
Yeah.
This is a legal document that they have a duty to answer. And it's the people coming out saying, look, here's a case you screwed up because you got a tainted jury. The people are fed up with it. We're not begging them. We're telling them we're coming. We indicted them. We
all
indicted
right, Gerard,
those code boys.
Gerard, I already have the naysayers already contacting me because I got all whipped up into a frenzy over the Coroato. And people are telling me, well, they didn't respond to it. That's it. So we are not to get disappointed. They've been put on notice. And therefore, they can't go back and say, well, we didn't know, correct? That was the whole purpose of serving notice.
Right, and there's other steps. This is we haven't ended here. We got plenty of things to do. But right. I'll tell you what, if we can get everyone to stay on the same page for the next 6 weeks, that means all the people that we've organized, and we get our jobs done,
yes.
This could come to an end in 6 weeks.
Wow.
And believe me, I can't tell you how.
Yes, sir.
Because we can't reveal that. But when you see it, you'll know it.
If we all come together and we all do our part, no matter who you are out there, you can play a role. First and foremost is to get educated, of course. But everyone can play their part. Everyone. It doesn't.
We are refounding America. We're going back and resetting the clock to 1789.
Yes,
that's
sir.
What we're doing right now.
Yes, sir. I'm with you. I am right now. If you could see me, I'm on YouTube Live on camera right now, beaming right now. This is exactly what I've been for 865 episodes.
You know, Jefferson said when he laid out the eight ancient principles, number eight, he says, if a government either by malfeasance or neglect fails to protect those rights, or even worse, if the government itself begins to violate those rights, then it is the right and the duty of the people to regain control of their affairs and set up a form of government which will serve the people better.
Yes.
And that's where we're at right now. We don't need to change anything because our founding fathers did a great job. What we need to do is get rid of the enemy of liberty, the enemy of America, the enemy of the people who have taken control of our nation by being elected into office and doing not the will of the people, but the will of the oligarchy there in Washington, D.C.
On behalf of everyone of every race, creed, color, period, every single human
Amen.
Being born of flesh and blood, absolutely.
We have prejudice so bad in this country over the past 200 years because they have incited it. They've made sure it stayed there. It is part of their game to divide us. They want black against white. They even want man against woman. They want right against the left, the Democrat against the Republican. They have divided us every way. We the people are coming with the three principles and the two maxims, and we think of nothing else. We are not political. We don't get involved in politics. As a matter of fact, we're going to train the committee men to come into this process to do the right thing, to do their duty, and to choose people who are potential statesmen. And we're going to ask them to require that they take this civics course right here on National Liberty Alliance before they become qualified to run for any office.
You know, and because we are in a constitutional emergency, A, and B, because for decades, for generations, we have already been preconditioned through that divide and conquer mentality that we have bias, we have racism, we have all that stuff. And you know what we should do? We should, and I'm calling upon because this is the most unifying message, I believe, that we can take care of the human being, but we must right now, even if you have bias or prejudice, no matter what it is, for the next 6 weeks, push the pause button and just set it aside and allow this thing, okay, this restoration of our Constitution back to common law, the common law grand jury. Push the pause button, and I think we will naturally progress to restoring our natural rights. But we have to set aside our bias and prejudice. We can't say, you know what, everyone, don't be prejudiced, because we've got multi-generations that are prejudiced, that are biased. And we just need to push the pause button on it so that we can, through this emergency, get us through this process. Right? Don't you agree with that?
Well, absolutely. Look at only – you go to our website, first words you see, big, bold letters, the biggest words, the biggest letters on our website. Only the people can save America. If the people don't step up and do the right thing and act under principles,
yes,
we lose. And if we try to do it under any other way, God will not bless us but curse us. Because remember, in the preamble of the Constitution, it says that one of the jobs the government, which is seven, they have six or seven duties that is listed out there right in the preamble, and one of them is to protect let me read it right out here. Hang on a second, so I don't want to misquote this one because it's so important. Here it is. Their job is to secure the blessings of liberty. You see, our founding fathers understood liberty was a blessing. In order to be right, in order to have a blessing, you have to get right with God. Go to your prayer closet and talk to Him. However you understand God, just go do it. And get right with God, stand on principles, do that which is right, make the right decisions, especially here, and God is God says he will bless it, okay? But he will curse it if we don't do it the right way.
What do you say to those that say that they don't believe in God?
Well, they're welcomed with us, too, as long as they agree with the principles. Look at our founding fathers accepted everyone. We had atheists amongst us. What was that one guy that wrote the books, Gerard, that was an atheist? He was with our founding fathers. I forget his name.
Thomas Paine was Thomas Paine.
Paine, I think it was Paine, yes. Okay, and we you know, that's why they said, you know, they talked about the Creator. They didn't give God a name. But it was biblical principles. It refers to the true God, the Creator of the universe, the Creator of everything. But they left it, and they called it the nature's God in order to be welcoming everybody. And everyone is welcome. But we are built on biblical principles. And we teach these things every Monday night, by the way. We have an open forum conversation. We spend an hour to update, go through different things, discuss where we're at, what we're doing, read the papers we're writing. And then we have 2 hours or 2.5 hours, whatever's left, with an open forum for questions and answers. So people can come there. And we do teach people about what Jefferson had to say, what Benjamin Franklin had to say, who these people really are.
If you don't mind, we have just a couple of minutes left. This is what I want to do. I want to offer up Guerrilla Media Network, our show. Of course, we're going to bring you back on a weekly basis for our live listening audience. And I also, you have these conference calls and these meetings recorded. I mean, is it good for you?
Oh yeah, yeah. If you go to our website, okay. Up in the top left, it says weekly call. You go there.
Okay.
We are broadcast also. That is broadcast over Shaken Wake Radio, so we're streamed out on other sources.
Well, I'm also going to include. You can say that you're going to broadcast that on.
All of our recordings are there.
Yes.
We haven't missed a Monday since we started.
Okay.
All the way back to the beginning.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Now, if you don't mind, in the remaining moments, we have just a couple minutes here. As soon as the music comes, it's not going to conclude anything. That will end this inaugural episode. And then, Gerard, next week we'll have you back. Okay? There's a lot of things to do. This has been a great episode. I can't tell you how much energy I have right now in what I've been learning over the past couple of weeks. Gentlemen, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for your service to our nation at a time when we needed you most. I've needed you most, and I thank you very much for everything you're doing for our country. We're refounding the United States of America.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us, and to God be the glory.
Oh, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we can do this. We have no choice but to do this. Reach out to everyone you can get to. This is by far, I always say this, when I have a powerful episode, this is by far, in this 865th episode, the most important episode I've ever participated in. We the people can do this. 6 weeks, we know how impatient we are. We can actually turn this around, but we need your help. Get on nationallibertyalliance.org. That's all we have. We'll talk to you tomorrow.